Blog Talk Radio.
Because you're relying on me, shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Sister Shonda, your line is open too. Peace to y'all.
Yes. Well, peace to you all.
I got a question for both of you, because you're in the age bracket of, I was thinking this morning about Daddy and the skills that Daddy had taught us, and I called number two and we talked. One famous skill that Daddy had taught all of us, that we became masters at all of the teaching that my daddy had taught us, he didn't tell me nothing about it until 1970, until Andre was born, my son. This word is called eavesdropping. Do you know what that word is, Sister Shonda?
Ooh, Dwyer, I'm going to tell you something. You ought to, man, you know what I'm telling you. It's something to hear you saying eavesdropping, because I'm a hit you with something real quick, too, while you talking about eavesdropping. What about see your way out the conversation? How about that? How about ear hustler? You know, how about that, you know, the curiosity killed the cat. So to answer your question, I wanted to give that back to you to let you know absolutely I comprehend what you're saying on that, and I'm on that same wavelength right now.
Do you know what that word means, Brother Drew?
I know what eavesdropping is.
Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Daddy told me in 1970, he said, old folks have goddamn skill that you young niggas don't know nothing about. He say, how come I know when you went to shit and how you went to shit and your grandmother did? It 'cause we eavesdrop you. Eavesdropping means that you are listening in on a conversation and that person don't know you listening. Daddy says until a nigga get 12 years old, you supposed to eavesdrop your children. Nobody do that no more. And see, I got a minya ass whooping behind big. Now I understand a lot, Brother Drew, about that word when I was thinking about it this morning and thought about what Daddy had taught me in 1970. Big Mama and them knew that if they let me go out and play and I was shooting marbles, I was going to cuss if I miss or something. And they would come around that corner. They would come around that corner and say, boy, did I hear you sing? And the first thing come out of my mouth with Big Mama, I didn't say a bad word. And then both of them, they would say, either one of them, whichever one with chest out of me, they say, well, oh, goddamn it, Big Mama deaf now, huh? And here you got to tell another lie. No, Big Mama, I didn't say you did. So they going to tell you, I'm going to whoop your ass for lying two times to Big Mama. Since Big Mama is deaf, you couldn't say, yeah, I cuss. You couldn't say, you didn't say a bad word. I got my ass, but because they was eavesdropping. I didn't know they was
that. Okay, wait a minute before you go any further, because what you're talking about right now is chronological order, and what
right.
I mean by that is that the grandmothers, the females, they were the ones who had their eyes on you to have so that they could get a good study of you and be in the guidance of you. Now, that's something that is called homeschooling, because you can't go to an institution and that institution teach you about eavesdropping, because they don't want you to eavesdrop on them or the children in the school. That is a homeschool teaching. So consequently, of course, we're talking about education. So that part of the education strategy has gotten away, because we have sent our children off and become institutionalized, so eavesdropping doesn't happen anymore. But it has to be done first with the female, because she has the children first. So that's why it's really important that we begin to teach proper order. Not, you know, if things are scrambled, they don't come out right. It's just like a cake, you know.
Right.
You have to have a chronological order. And in the human anatomy, the female is chronologically number one. So
right.
I appreciate you sharing that story. And I'm sure, you know, I have some stories like that, and I'm sure that Brother Drew does too. But, yeah, even my children, how I have had to eavesdrop up on them in order to get an opportunity to see what's going on in their world, you know. But it just doesn't stop in the house. That skill takes you, excuse me for just one moment, that skill takes you to the subject of what we're talking about, which is, you know, how you have to have an inquiry mind. So go ahead. I just want to say that.
Yeah, because you use and see, I just thought about this morning. I mean, this word. I mean, and it's a word that was real common back when I was a kid. I mean, when I was growing up, but it's most people don't possess the skill if they know it, because this practice that parents had on your ass, and they had it. If you was raised back in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s, them grandmothers had this skill dead on your ass when you was out playing in the yard. They had that skill on you. nobody knows that skill and nobody uses that. See, assist, we learn, this is the third section, each time we'll learn more and more on the educational system as we are eavesdropping on them on a conversation. They didn't know that we went back and found information. A system, we'll learn this far, that a system can't fail someone it wasn't designed for them. See, we thought that the system, the education system, hell, the education system wasn't designed for us. That's why
it's
it failed.
It's a success. It's a success.
It's a success. See, we are born, we learned this so far in America, raised to honor Americans, educated in American ways to be used in Americans' policies and religion. You can become a zip-down fool that don't look like the American, because, see, we're going to ask ourselves a question. Who was the first American? The first American was John Hancock. He was the first person that signed that bill that he was going to commit treason against England. He was the first American. And in a chronological order, they signed their goddamn names. So when you study in a system called protocol in a chronological order, then you know the correct system. Ain't nobody can bullshit you. Because, see, we're going straight down in a chronological order, looking at a hell of a problem that done become a crisis now called education. And you're a good American, and this ain't for everybody, because everybody ain't going to see this, because as your good book, the Bible said, it told you about some damn fools that wasn't coming out. So this ain't for you, but for people that want to be enlightened, you have to got to understand that one thing I can say, if we trace in history in a chronological order, Elijah Muhammad, I'm not solicifying anything. I don't do religion. I know the history of religion. And so everybody's religion, I know your religion. Elijah Muhammad didn't teach you a religion. He taught you a way of life. You got him all mixed up on his teaching. He wasn't a Muslim. None of that. He was a good, what we call in today's society, a mason that took a group of people and taught them a way of life that you can test it from when he started to 2017 and tell me something that he lied in, especially about the books of How to Eat to Live, and I'll show you a bunch of people with type 2 diabetes, just like he said, after three generations. So it's a proper way of doing something, and the mind that has an analytical thinking mind. See, when we break down the mind, and as I go, if you want to, Shonda, Drew, you holler if I say something that.
Well, okay, so I want to just say something about Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, because that's pretty much how most people would call it, his teachings, and that, yes, he declared a religion because of the charter that he chose to take in this society. So once you choose a charter, you have to choose a religion. In this case, that is what happened with Elijah Muhammad. So therein you have them as Muslims, nation of Islam. But that's another part of the education, and I'm bringing that forward because, you know, we are speaking on education. So that's just a note in the awareness of the mind. Now, I have a lot of experience in the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, for that was the way that I chose to live my life for a very extended period of time, like 30 years. and that I also brought my children up in the training and his teaching, not under any organization, but only because he had laid out his program so clearly that if you picked up his training, his program that he laid out, then it was really easy to follow it. You didn't have to, you know, it wasn't complicated. But yet it still to this day was the most successful program that we have ever had here in this country. No one has come even nowhere to a fraction of the things that he accomplished for black people in this country. So I wanted to bring that out. And education was very important to him. And his strategy of education was from homeschool. There were sisters who started the homeschool, and they were the ones who kept the nation continuous through homeschooling. Some of them had sacrifices and going to jail because it was not known of at that time. And those sisters worked very diligently to keep the Nation of Islam going when Elijah Muhammad was put in jail. So his system was about the female learning some very basic economic home economics. Back to that again. His system was about the female learning how to cook, how to clean, how to sew, how to take care of her family, how to act at home and abroad, how to take care of her hygiene, how to have military understanding. All subjects was on the table to be studied. So an education strategy, which we now are very proud to send our children to the colleges, but they don't come back looking like our children no more. He did not believe that you should send your females to other people's schools by themselves. And but we've gotten away from a lot of the things that we, even those who are aware of his teachings, they now have succumbed to different types of strategies of teachings. But that was what I wanted to say, brother, about him, because I think that he is a worthy person to go back and look at it as we are looking at how do we build a new educational system. We have to look at something that has proven itself to be successful for us, not white people, not anybody else. He is the one person that has walked this land in the last 500 years, and it ain't been that damn long, but I'm just going back 500 years, that can show us an example in this land right here, right now, today. And I'm not advocating him. I'm not a part of any religion, nor do I follow a religion, nor am I an advocate of God or the damn devil.
Yeah,
the only advocate that I advocate for that is bigger than any of them is death, because he has whooped all of their asses.
And the only thing we deal with is facts, and that's it. If these are facts, this ain't no hearsay or they say or by say. These are goddamn facts. Documentation beats bullshit conversation. Like I tell you, I don't believe in no goddamn gods. Nothing. But I know who I studied with, and I know who had taught me, and I analyze everybody. That's what an analytical mind is. We're talking about mind. Let's understand a mind first. Going in a chronological order, the first, your mind is unconscious. Then, after 3 months, it becomes conscious. And then, after 9 months to get here, it becomes conscious. It becomes super conscious after you get you a diploma in America. And with me, they started me at 6 years old with people that's born after 1964, they call it head start. They gave you a head start and started training you at 3 and 4 and 5 years old. You got a head start in America. This is when we looking at how the mind works. But when you have a analytical mind, this produces reasoning. And reasoning I find it very interesting when you go to Isaiah 1 and 19 in y'all's book. It says, come let us reason together. The first thing in the Masonic order, one of the furniture, is reasoning. What is reasoning? Reasoning is one goddamn thing that it taught me, common sense. The definition of common sense is facts. The definition of wisdom is facts. The definition of knowledge is facts. This comes from a mind that can reason, that produces thinking, deep thinking. And when it becomes the ultimate mind, it becomes what I'm going to let Sister expound on this, because she gave me an idea, but she started here with number 8, a inquiring mind. That's when a mind can think, it becomes an inquiring mind. And this is something that we have gotten away from, because what is a inquiring mind? And to inquire on something, that means to information built on facts. So our children, when we used to have an inquiring mind, then we no longer have an inquiring mind, simply because what? We've been in public school system. We have learned so far, and this is number 3, that we've been in public school that had a plan and a project for us in 1950. With this information, you know good goddamn well you got to get your child out of the school system. You got to either build a nation like Elijah Muhammad has already built. You got to be on them principles, and this shit going down, you should know that damn well that when we go into the New World Order, they deal with nations. They don't deal with people that's in nations. They deal with damn nations. They're giving you a chance for your ass to create your own damn nation, but you had to have the mind. Well, you had to be an inquiring mind to become an ultimate conscious mind. And this means that you had to go through a transformation, a renewing of your mind. But explain, what's your take on this inquiring mind system?
Okay, all right. I'm excited to do that. you know, while we're talking about that, one of the things that has came up in my mind is to start giving the dictionary.com definition of these words that we're talking about. Because why? One, we're a radio internet talk show, and we all are on different social medias. Myself, Shonda Parks, is on Facebook. Dawaya Zakaya is also on Facebook. That's where you can find us and, you know, and befriend us or follow us on our social medias. But dictionary.com, I wanted to talk about that because it's accessible on your phone or on your computer. But what it says is that, first of all, that the word mind, M-I-N-D, is a noun. And the number one, it has some chronological orders of the highest value that they are giving it. So it says, in a human or other conscious being, that's in brackets, it says the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges, etc. And then it gives a sentence, the process of the human mind. Number 2, psychological, the totality of conscious and unconscious mental process and activities. And number 3, intellect or understanding, as distinguished from the faculties of feeling and willing intelligence. That's a hell of a definition. you know, I mean, just, and this is a current definition. Dictionary.com is current. A lot of the dictionaries now, you almost, you know, you need to go to the, you can't hardly find really good dictionaries anymore. But that's a really amazing word to really have an understanding of, because that right there, to just look at that word and deeply analyze what a mind is, it requires that you have to have an inquiry mind. And because an inquiry mind is something that takes notes of questions, it acts, it's an investigation. You're seeking more knowledge. And according to dictionary.com, it's a verb. So that means that you have to take an action to inquire, to seek information by questioning, ask a question. You know, they even used to have this saying where there was no bad questions. And now all of a sudden, you know, people have a feeling, back to that, about the mind. Your mind begins to have a feeling about the type of question that an inquiry mind should ask. So you have children, you could read them a story. And I read children stories, and they don't have any questions. And that's kind of like, really? Why you don't have a question? There are things in here that you don't know. There are words that I said that you can't spell. Why don't you have a question? Because their inquiry minds have been shut off, because the mind is in housing of the school of thought, the feelings, what makes them feel embarrassed. You know, children, parents used to come to the school and would jack their children up. Now the parents too afraid, too scared, too nervous, too chicken shit to do anything to their children. So they can see their children. You can walk up on their children, Dwyer, as you say, eavesdropping, hear them cussing and laugh at them or do a damn video. So that's a problem in the thought process of the training of the future generation. So an inquiry mind goes to a deep analyzation, as you talked about earlier, Dwyer, and even look at that word, according to dictionary.com, analyze is a verb as well. And it says, one of the definitions, to separate, and in brackets it says, a material or abstract entity into constitutes parts or elements. There go that word elements again. Determine the elements or essential features of, and then it has in quotes again, I mean brackets, opposed to synthesize, to analyze an argument. Well, most people too busy arguing than to analyze an argument, and if they argue, they don't come back and analyze it because they're too damn emotional into their mind feelings that they may start the argument all over again. And you know what that means is that if you cannot analyze, you can't communicate effectively. So there goes the problem between the two human anatomies, the female and the male. What was you saying, Dwyer?
A hung jury.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You lose your ability to analyze things critically because you back into that part of yourself. So you lose the ability to be curious. And that word is that has been put into our mindsets is that curiosity killed the cat. So if you're curious, if you say this and you put this into the mindsets of the people, then why would they be curious? Because inquiry minds and curiosity, they are the same. But you have to be into your imagination to understand that. And then you have the people who now, you know, other things like, as you were talking about, eavesdropping is good. But there is a side of eavesdropping that could be bad as well. you know, the misunderstanding of how to eavesdrop. You know, I think only spies are the ones who are being trained to eavesdrop. The family strategy.
Well, spying ain't nothing but eavesdropping.
Yes.
What you think with all this high tech junk now is eavesdropping. They call
it
another word. They got other words for it. But.
Yeah, but they do have some real, quote, high-tech words for it, but it still comes down to that eavesdropping.
Yeah,
right.
Right up.
Yeah, so, and you know that the eavesdropping devices, like the ones that we're speaking on right now, are you can't go visit a website unless they want your personal information. If you want to find out more of their top information. But, chronological order. I want to come back to that definition according to dictionary.com is that it is an adjective. And number one, it says to arrange in order of time. And then they give a sentence to explain that, a chronological list of events. And number two is pertaining to or in accordance with chronological. And then it says a chronological process. And both of those, were you saying something, Dawaya?
No.
And both of those definitions are absolutely critical to you having an understanding of what in life is chronological order. It's always a chronological order of how the sun rises. So if you know how the sun rises every day and how the sun sets, you know that it doesn't, it follows a process. The moon, she follows a chronological process. She doesn't go, she have a full moon, and then the next day she is a quarter moon. No, she goes through her regular process because everything has a chronological order, and so does the human anatomy. And because that's why the female has to be the one that shifts the paradigm. But she can't shift the paradigm because she lives in the world of believe. And believe is a verb. And according to dictionary.com, the word believe means, number one, to have confidence in the truth that exists or the reality, or the reliability of something. To have confidence. Understand that word, because confidence means that it's not a fact. You just have a kind of a feeling, so to speak. Although without absolute proof that one is right in doing so. Well, the female lives in the belief because she believes in religion. She believes in this system's education. And there are facts now that show that this shit is a fucking success for them and a failure for our generation to come.
Yes.
So that's why we have to be analytical. That's why we have to have inquiring minds, and we have to know that the chronological order is going to give us what we need so that the female can begin to shift the paradigm, and it only can be done through the bloodline, and the bloodline is the female. And why the bloodline? Because she is the one who brings the life forward. And because she brings the life forward, she is the one that is responsible for the breath of life, which we all share. And it comes through the umbilical cord of the female. So chronological order, you must understand this if you want to have an advanced study for you and your nation of people, as Dawaya demonstrated earlier, that if you understand what's going on, you have to be a nation, not a damn individual. And how do you become a nation? You have to declare your authority upon yourself and your family in order for you to be a nation. So eavesdrop on that conversation right there. What you got to say about that?
I mean, we're just, you learn things through studying. I mean, studying, your mind makes a transformation. There's no transformation without information. You know who gave us our slogan, Brother Drew? Shahada did. She gave us our slogan to me and Cole when we were down there. She came up with that word, there's no transformation. She was in class. She said, there's no transformation without information. How in the hell are you going to transfer without information? We agreed that that was our motto. There's no transformation without information. And I came up with documentation beats all MF motherfucking conversation. You understand me? So I had told number three I wouldn't cuss like daddy, Shonda.
Well, I think we've done pretty good today because I can cuss like something too.
But let's look at something else since we understand how this mind is working. You become an ultimate conscious mind through inquiring, and you deal with straight facts in a chronological order, so you know who the revised version is, and you will see who came in and took the original and said it was the second one. What came out of that? That's when the mind is thinking. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. How do the mind make a transformation? What do we start with? Let's see. Big Mama had a book, awesome book called The History of the Mind. It's deep, deep, deep. It was 1817 sometime, but it's a deep book. And through analyzing the book and reading it over 100 times, when you read information, you'll know if it's real or fixing, because you have to weigh and balance it. Once you weigh and balance it, see, how do this mind work that is a transformed mind in a chronological order? The mind first has to have, let me see if Brother Drew thinking. Your mind has first got to have a what, Brother Drew? You remember this teaching? You done had it Sunday, huh?
Answer with
one word.
Your mind must first have a idea.
Okay, you say idea. What you say, Sister Shonda?
Thoughts.
I said
thoughts.
Okay. Y'all both got L's. Let's analyze.
Now you're
Drew
out of me.
No, Drew shouldn't have got a F. Drew should have got a F. We never did go with this book. Now let's reason with each other. In order for your mind to transfer, the mind first have to have a W. I-L-L, a wheel. Mind first, you have to develop the concept of a wheel. And mine was developed by daddy sending a message from my ass to the brain to do his wheel. So that's why I tell anybody. See, your mind has to have a wheel. I'm coming out of this book, and they use a word that I had to go look it up, because this is an old, ancient, I don't know why they would use this word, because this was a college book back in that day and time. They used the word A-X-I-O-M-X, axiom, which it only means that the will, the only way that you can have a will is that the will has to have an axiom. The word axiom means facts, truth. And then it says, when you have this axiom, truth, when it believes, when you got this, the next thing that your mind would get a thought. And this thought would come, become an idea. What you think about that? Because, see, that's exactly, if you take step by step, you can't do nothing without a hell of a will. This shit I do is straight in my goddamn mind. Pamela say, I see why your back. And now my back don't be hurting. That shit helped my back. She come telling me, she saw me twisted up there when I was on the Johnny Taylor show. They put that up on Facebook. And she said, well, I see why your back got up there. And she said, I was hurting watching you twisted. But I use the will of my mind. That's the only I have a strong will that tells myself that I can do that. And if we look at what this one word, will, I mean, if we analyzing this stuff right now, what's your take on that, brother Drew? What you think? And then, what you think?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you know, like I said, if you put your mind to it, you can do it. But at the same time, right, that's what it is. If you will yourself, say, I can do it, that is your will. You're saying, I can do it. And you can do it because you can will yourself that I can do it.
The thought that becomes an idea, if you got a strong will, you can do it.
Right.
It says you can produce. The next word is produce, meaning that if your will is strong, and you get a thought and an idea, you can produce. You can produce.
Well, Dwyer, that if you go back and look in the preschool program or look in the educational process, then you see that the will is already gone, because when you turn your children over to someone else, then now their will be done. And that's pretty much kind of how it goes, you know, about that will. I mean, I wouldn't have never even, I said thought, Drew said idea, so he and I were on number two, but that will, you know, that which is driving us all right now to be doing this program, to be listening to this program, you know, knowing that it's something different, it's out of the norm, that will to make a difference in the knowledge that is being carried forth, that we're not financially gaining from at this time, and we probably never will. But because of the will for us to help our families and our future, we're putting this together right now of the sacrifice of our time, our energy, the studies that we've put in, the money that we have spent on knowledge and travel. All of this is coming from our will to make a difference for the future of the generations to come. So, yeah, I dig that real tight. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and so now the next thing, P-E-R-C-E-P-T-I-O-N-S, whatever that, you know me, I ain't got Keela. She Drew, no more Keela.
Can you spell that again?
P-E-R-C-E. R-T-I-O-N-S,
perception.
It says that these are the things that when you have this kind of mind, then your mind won't go in proceeding anything that was metaphysics, spirits. Now we have to deal with what is metaphysics, and that's when metaneta became metaphysical, with the study of metaphysics, which the study of metaphysics bring about a mystery. Now you check this shit here out. This is how, what will happen to the mind if the mind ain't got a strong will, if your mind take on this belief system. Metaphysics, which would be Alpha and Omega, would become a mystery. That's in the Bible. Paul will tell you about the mysteries. That's what the Masonic order was called first. They've got it right there in the rule. It says the mystery would have a superstitious mind, and number seven is that mind would be a theology mind, opposite of science and the law of religion. That's what produced if you didn't have, your mind wasn't developed to have a will to do an idea that you produce, your mind would drift over into a metaphysical mind, which would be Alpha and Omega. That would be a mystery, which the mysteries of God, that's what Paul taught you, that's what you off into because you're Paulinian Christian, that would produce a superstitious mind. And that mind would only come through theology, mind, opposite of science, which would be the 12 laws of nature and the laws of religion. That's when you fucked. With your mind. We're talking mind right now. And see, while we're talking mind, if your mind don't know what warfare is, and if we have to continue this, I mean, you can see where the mind is. When the mind is taught right, it produces this right here, and we ain't seeing this, so we know that it's producing this other mind over here through a mystery, which was superstitious through theology, through all the religions, just every last one of them. But we can see that when our mind don't know warfare, and when weather modification warfare, which I try to talk about, Brother Drew, and I ain't going to say that other magic word to knock us off. That's the reason I'm using this at the last. Because they wouldn't let us stay. But weather modification produces psychological warfare. And psychological warfare is engaging in the activity involving a war, conflict, military combat, conflict. You ain't no military person, so you don't understand it. So you have to go back and analyze what we saw this week, weather modification warfare used, and here in Dallas we experienced what comes out of weather modification produces psychological warfare on the people. We saw that happen. That came into existence. Weather modification warfare is a seeded cloud. And in, most people don't understand that in 1964, Russia, the United States, and China signed a peace treaty not to use weather as warfare because it would produce psychological warfare where you see everybody panic and was a run on the gas stations here in Dallas, and you still got stations that ain't got gas because they order gas. If you hadn't made a run on the gas through social media, which is protocol number seven, through social, I'm doing books on your ass now. you all saw through social media psychological warfare performed where they emptied out. Or how you going to run out of gas in Dallas and this is a fuel depot? They got a fuel depot, but if you make a run, Brother Drew, on the gas pump like they did, because they order gas, then you got what you got now. Gas stations still don't have gas. Now, let's look at this analytical mind. We're going to use
Excuse
our
analytical mind. Excuse me, Dwyer, before you go on, let me just say this quickly as before, since you're talking about weather modification before we go too far. That this was a massive weather modification, meaning that it affected people all over the world because what it did was it created a massive change. And the massive change was through the media, through social media, through the behavior practice of people, through their conversations, through their practices, how they were influenced, the neighboring states that were around the Houston, Texas area. But it's supported by a daily chemtrail. Chemtrail is chemical weather modification that's used every single day. And that is it's a program. It's a daily program that those metals have that are dropping into our existence every single day. And that chemical warfare that we're dealing with that comes from the sky every day, that also is demonstrated in the chemicals in our food. And also it's land and ground every day. You got the land and the ground and the land and sea, excuse me, the land, sea, and water, every damn thing, every day. And we're finding that in the food chain. And so and the drinks of the food chain. And so here it is, back to the massive. Now you created that big weather modification that massively produces all the effects that they want over a faster period of time than chemtrail does. Because, yeah, chemtrail is doing okay, but these damn people seem to still be getting used to this shit they putting up in the sky. But a massive weather modification can, you know, really, really is a real serious psychological warfare. So,
And see, the United States done pissed off Russia and China. They done pissed both of them off. So this next storm that they sent over here, no telling what they do. And if you notice, I know about it well, I done studied it for many years. When it comes through the Bermuda Triangle, you'll see it pick up. They put it on TV this time that they flew through the eye of the storm. When they flew through the eye of the storm, they dropped hydrogen off into that cloud to try to cool it down, but this one went crazy on the ass to the standpoint they say, we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know if it's going to go this way, that way, inland, come back or do that, because what they are sending over here, they done modified that shit. Common sense would tell you that they modified, you got Russia and China on your ass. Shit, both of them countries is pissed off at America. And then this man went in and bombed the DMZ zone. Korea is the land. The people are Chinese. You can't be doing that shit. You can't be fighting with that. They fight. You can only fight, modify the weather during the times of the trade winds. They call it the jet stream. Ancient people call it the trade wind. There's a story behind the trade winds. That's in all cultures are behind these trade winds. The trade wind is what they call the jet stream. It runs from the end of summer, 2 weeks from the summer, to February. That's when the ships that sailed over here would sail. You could come on the day. That's when the Pinta and the Santa Maria had to take their ass back, or they came the wrong time when the trade wind stopped blowing. And so if you launch in a spacecraft, you have to launch it on the trade winds. Dallas, Fort Worth, and Crockett, where I live, Crockett, Moso, is right in the middle of the trade wind, because when the shell exploded, all the debris was down there on Mama Nim land in Beery. All of that damn debris, most of it was right there. And all of that shit that was on that spaceship, all of them specimens, hit the trade wind. The trade wind make a complete cycle around the world. So I got an article where the dust from that trade wind went completely cycle. I got the article. Made a complete cycle. On that ship, they had specimens that grew out of space. What the hell kind of specimens is coming into existence? And they dropped down in my hometown where the idea of growing a germ down there is idea because it stay hot and moist, especially in the area that it was dropped in the piney woods and buried. With all of that shit came. And then right after that, shit had started happening in the Sabine River. People swimming in that son of a bitch and caught some kind of disease. That shit done quieted down, but that shit is laying dome in that shit right now. How we know? I'm just got an inquiring goddamn mind. Shit.
Hey, Dwyer, you know what you just also demonstrated, back to that word chronological, when demonstrating the trade winds, what you're showing us is that the time frame of which it's available. So because of the inquiring minds, you start studying, you start looking up and observing what's happening in this planet that we live in. So, but it only happened a certain period of time, back to that time process, the process of time, back to chronological order. And I really wanted to point that out again, because I want to highly, highly stress that you only can get things in order if you understand the chronological process, if you understand the steps. And that's what we're calling for. We're calling for, we need, as grandparents, to set a new paradigm for the educational process of our children. And we have to talk about this and have a communication, come together and commune with one another. And when you commune, you conversate, you bring out questions, you have dialogue, you have study, and that is where the paradigm shift can take place. Only then can it take place.
Yes, and only then can you have an ultimate conscious mind to have that analytical mind. It has to be a mind that's thinking, but a mind that's thinking is a mind, a deep thinking mind is a mind that's inquiring up on shit. And because you inquire on shit, you find a fact. And see, like my daddy said, shit, he deal with a fact. My daddy, boy, he would tell you it's facts. He say he don't deal with love and who you are. He's just like what he said about number four. He told us number four, he ain't about shit. He ain't worth the breath that he breathed. I didn't understand why he said that, but I understand now. And I don't give a shit who know it. You know that, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
You know number four is. And see, Daddy already told us. He already had told us. He forewarned us on that, but we didn't believe it.
Yeah, but he had the information y'all didn't have, because he already had eavesdropped on it.
You got that right. He had 10 points. He dropped his ass to death. But I was just thinking this today, and that word, and it laughed because Daddy used to say, yeah, I done slipped up on your goddamn ass, nigga. He said, I done eavesdropped you. I know this nigga was finna whoop my ass then, because he tell me he done tipped up on me. Shit, I didn't mean that. He tipped and I didn't hear that motherfucker coming. But I didn't tip up on you and through eavesdropping. I'll be thankful, because see, when he tell me assume the position, that means goddamn I couldn't cry either. See, the daddy was a sadist. I told that nigga in 73, I said, shit, you beat my ass and dared me to cry. But number five told me last week, that Dad had told him. He said, Junior,